Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio 1080 on your AM dial from Northfield, Minnesota. And, of course, now the 95.1 FM. And the time right now is 9:07, or make it almost 9:08. There we go. And that means we have about 52 minutes, and at 10 o'clock it will be 50 years on the air on 1080 AM. And, of course, now it's Sister Station, or the leader, the 95.1. I had a chance to call somebody and ask him to come in and chit-chat with me today because 50 years ago I met this gentleman, and I was very impressed with that. This is even before we went on the air, and he was a leader, and I've been a leader all 50 years. And my guest this morning is Keith Covey. How you doing, Keith?
Just fine, Wayne.
1968.
Good to be here.
Yes, and I just wanted to trip down memory lane with you because 50 years ago you were the Chamber of Commerce executive, correct?
That's right.
And I believe your offices were above.
Yes, was above what is now Hogan's, but it was the Coast to Coast hardware store.
Yeah, like Applebaum or
Apple. Yeah,
Apple something.
Appledorn.
Appledorn.
Yep.
And that's what, like you said, right now that particular building is being occupied by Hogan Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the Chamber of Commerce executive. And
that's right.
I came to town, and I remembered driving. I had just bought, and I was so excited because I had come from a job in Austin, and I was getting equal pay of what I was making, or maybe $5 a week more. I can't remember which. But I bought a 67 Fiat from my roommate that I had at that time, and a 67 Fiat 650 is a little car. And I painted up a sign, KYMN is coming soon, and I put it in the parade, and that was for Defeated Jesse James days, and you were involved in that through the Chamber of Commerce at that time. And I remember meeting up in the offices up there.
Right.
And you were the man at the time. And, of course, if people don't know, you went on to become our mayor and also the architectural guy at Carleton College. If I don't know how to describe that job.
Well, we can come to that if you need to.
Okay. So what do you remember 50 years ago when you heard KYMN Radio was coming to town, and what was going on?
Well, I think, Wayne, it was interesting to us that an AM station at that time only had chosen to set up in Northfield, and it meant a step of progress for the community to have a new radio station in town. And we were... it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, and at that time, by the way, Keith, we had to find land to put the tower on. And, of course, at that time, for obvious reasons, money, we built a building right under the tower. And then we didn't have to pay rent or anything. I just make the payments on the building and the tower and everything. And we went out. I was thinking, I heard Jeff talking about how many minutes ago it was, and et cetera. And I got to thinking, I think that I must have gone over the Waterford Bridge before it became the John Dudley Memorial Bridge, the old one. You've been out there.
Mm-hmm.
10,000 or more times.
I imagine.
You know,
yes.
You go out there every morning, you do your show, and then you go up, come back to town, and you call on clients, and you run back out to the radio station, and you come back into town, and then you go back and shut her off. At that time, we were a daytimer, didn't have nighttime service. So how did you end up being the chamber president?
Well, I wasn't the president. I was the manager.
I was the
hired staff member, and it was a transition time for me. I had been working in a local architectural office, and had just reached a point where I felt as though I needed to kind of change my direction, and Bob Baker had been the manager of the Chamber of Commerce, and he resigned to go on to another job, and I decided to apply. I'd been involved a little bit in community things up to that point, but not much, and it was an opportunity, and fortunately the board of directors, fortunately for me, the board of directors said, yes, we'd like to have you come and do this.
Keith Covey is my guest this morning. And Keith, what other memories do you have of 50 years ago when KYMN came to town?
Well, I think the interesting thing to me is I have looked back through some of my old records and some records from the Chamber of Commerce, and thanks to them for making those available to me. The board of directors at that time included Harold Schulte, Derry Fresh, Chuck Knapper at Culligan, Chuck Stangler at Thielander Pharmacy, Monty Irwin, Orv Perman from Perman's Clothing, Bert Reese. We all know in this day and age, we know Brett, his father, or his son, excuse me, Stan Ness from St. Olaf, John Buck, a dentist, and Jim Feeney from Sheldahl, and Dwayne Benson, the funeral director. And so these are all, I think, familiar names to a lot of people in Northfield.
Well, that's a strong board of directors.
Yes, it was.
For sure. And boy, that brings back memories. Some of those that you mentioned, I know where they lived, I know where they worked, I knew them personally. So that's really cool that you did that and got that information. What happened after the chamber? Oh, I was just going to ask you, do you remember we went out for dinner at the Castle Rock Supper Club after defeated Jesse James Days 1 year, and Mary Schwalbe was the secretary at the time for defeated Jesse James Days? You remember going out there?
Yep.
Yeah. Kind of a little reward for all the hard work that was put in.
Yeah.
So I'm serving on my 51st year as a member of the... Boy, a lot of things have happened. How did you end up at Carleton?
After about 3 years at the chamber, I decided, okay, this is what the general direction I want to pursue, but I need some more education. So I went back to the University of Minnesota to work on a master's degree in public policy and planning. And as I was coming to the end of that, 2 years later, Frank Wright at Carleton called me one morning and said, I hear you're looking for a job. And I've thought about this many times that I'm probably the last person that was ever hired without any competition at Carleton, because the pressure for employers to really consider competition and alternative employees when they hired was really becoming a big thing then. And I got on at Carleton, and that lasted me for the rest of my career. And it was a wonderful, wonderful run.
And, you know, when you say things, they clicked in my mind, and I remember your wife, Judy, telling me about the chapel at Carleton College, and I always get them mixed up. That's Bo on Carleton and Skinner on St. Olaf, or vice versa?
Vice versa. Bo at St. Olaf.
Okay. Okay. So at Skinner Memorial yep. Chapel, I remember Judy telling me the story. It was when President Clinton visited Carleton. We talked to each other because it was a busy day, week, and she said that the wife of the president of Carleton at that time, and I don't know, his name will pop in my mind anyhow. She said that the wife told the president that they have to turn the chapel around so that the doors face south to show that it is open to the community, because it was going to be facing the bald spot. I thought that was an interesting story.
That's a legend around Carleton, and I think it's probably in a Carleton history book someplace. But yes, that was the intention at that time, was to be sure that there was a connection to the community.
And in your job at Carleton, you saw a lot of building that went on based on some of the things that you had looked at years before, I would imagine. For example, the new dorms, et cetera, on the east side of the campus.
Yes. My experience there was to help them move along a construction program that they recognized needs. First one was Mud Hall, which they have just removed from the campus this year. So it 50 years is a long time, and things come and go. Yeah.
Did you ever go to the cave?
I was in the cave. I never went to when the students were filling it up and enjoying it. But it was a place that we all were aware of, and my job included at times being sure that it was clean and safe. And
for those that don't know, the cave is a place where, like you say, the students would gather. And if I remember correctly, it was legal to drink beer in the cave, even sold. The late Dan Freeman used to provide services there.
You got me there on that
okay.
one. I wasn't that close to it.
Okay, so the administrators didn't know that there may have been beer drinking in the cave.
I think we were aware of it, yes.
And another thing, because you represented Carleton College for many years in the job that you had, all the trees that are along Highway 19 that are east of the stadium, on the east side mm-hmm. of the stadium, those trees were planted when I was around.
I think that's right.
And some of them, the bigger ones, were taken out because one morning I was going to work and there was a car that had one of those trees just before the athletic building, a women's gym, mm-hmm. had hit the tree head on, and the man died. And I had to call. I used to stop at the Ideal Cafe and have breakfast in the morning. And the cops used to be there, and then I had to go back, and I told the cops, I think we got a major problem, and that tree was taken out. It was right on the curve.
Okay.
I don't know if you were involved in that.
No, I don't recall that, no.
Okay.
But
and the field would flood every once in a while?
Oh, yes.
Did you have anything to do with that?
Well, I did a lot of worrying about it. Wasn't much we could do about it if the river came up that high, it flooded, and we were just aware that it was a burden of having our football field and practice fields in the floodplain.
Yeah. Do you have any other memories we can share? I notice you have a KYMN cup there.
Well, I brought the KYMN coffee cup that's been on our shelf in our kitchen at home for all these years from the I guess this one doesn't have a date on it, but it was a time when you were issuing a cup early on in KYMN's time here, and we got one, and I've continued to use it, and it's got a little nick in it from use, but it's still good. And
yeah,
we're enjoying it.
It's oh my gosh, we are in the only locally owned and operated media left in Rice County. Okay, then it has the various shows on there. David Garwood DeLong is on there. He was reported for the city council. Dan Freeman was the sports guy. Jennifer Gildner was continuity director and talent. Boy, that's hard to read. Back then it wasn't hard, but it is now. Okay, and we carried Carleton College football back then.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having a tailgate party on the little hump by the where you drop your oil across from
yep.
the big chimney stack. There was a little hump there.
Yep.
And I remember putting on a keg of beer, homemade chili, bratwurst and all that, tables, and the president of St. Olaf and the president of Carleton met there to have a little tailgate party with us, along with our sponsors. And then, of course, Carleton hosted St. Olaf football. I don't know, Jerry, right. Go to one of those?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. That was...
back in the early 80s we were doing
it
that.
It was a big event.
Yeah.
And, so at that time, when I was at the chamber, we had about 130 members, approximately a $25,000 budget. Doesn't seem like much these days, but it was then. And we had, an interesting relationship, a very good relationship with the city government. The city had a committee called the Community Action Committee, and we were the supporting organization for them. So we had that too, and had a little bit of income from the city for that reason. And so it was a good time for the chamber and for us and for the community, because things were beginning to grow, as indicated by KYMN coming to town, and we had a good 3 years, and then I moved on.
And I think Cleet Thill,
that's right,
filled your shoes.
That's right. Very good.
And he did an excellent job.
He did.
And then he became the human resource department head at Fairway Foods, and then moved on to King Foods out in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
And we still stay in touch.
Oh, good.
And he comes to town, you know, we go out and have something to eat or whatever. But he was a great leader. He had big shoes to fill, though, the job that you did.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you did a wonderful job. And I just remember meeting upstairs there in that office, and I was the new guy in town. And, you know, when you move into a small town, you have to prove yourself. And you accepted me and Stan Steinecke and KYMN Radio as part of the community, and melded in our personality and business with the rest of the community, and that was so important to be accepted.
Well, it was important to us that a radio station had chosen to come to town, and we wanted to make you a successful part of the community.
And you done good. And of course, we have to say that Don McRae, a former partner of mine, the late Don mm-hmm. McRae, was working down on KDHL, and I remember him telling me at the golf club that there's no way Northfield's going to have a radio station succeed. And that was in October of the first year that we were here, and January 2nd, he came to work for KYMN Radio and did the Perman's News at 8 o'clock every morning. We didn't have a network at that time. Anything else you got there?
I just think that it's important to us to recognize that KYMN has been here a long time and has served the community well and continues to serve the community well. And I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and have a little chat with you this morning.
Well, I've always enjoyed your company. You know, you were walking with some pretty statuesque or, you know, some pretty prominent people, highly educated in that college atmosphere, and yet you were able to mingle with the townies and ultimately become mayor. Were you once or twice?
I was mayor twice, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming in and sharing those thoughts and especially those old names on your board of directors.
Well, you're welcome. And my congratulations to KYMN for achieving this 50-year milestone.
Well, thank you very much. All right. Keith Covey has been my guest here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, 1080 AM, 50 years in another 33 minutes. And we have to pass along some messages. We'll be back in a flash here on KYMN Northfield.
Hello, this is Josh Gare. My wife and I received bad news in 2006 when I was diagnosed with cancer. In addition to my growing health concerns, medical bills were piling up. I beat cancer, but I learned the struggles families face with the skyrocketing costs of healthcare. I'm running to be your state representative to be a voice at the Capitol who will fight for affordable healthcare. I will work across the aisle to lower costs and ensure you are able to keep your doctor. November 6th, vote for me, Josh Gehr, to be your next state representative.
Paid for by friends of Josh
Gehr. Hi, this is CCO's Al Momberg wishing my good friends at legendary radio station KYMN a happy 50th anniversary. Funny, you guys don't look that old.
Live the legend and throw axes with your friends at the all-new Battle Axe Pub. Visit Magic, the live unicorn, hug a kangaroo, pet an African porcupine, or hand-feed a grape to a ring-tailed lemur. Soar over the crowd at the Wizard's Flight School Zipline. Have a blast at the new Bow Blast competition. The Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Family fun for one and all. Weekends through September 30th. Discount tickets at Super America, Cobb, Menards, Dunn Brothers, and at RenaissanceFest.com.
Leo South in Lakeville is not your typical power sports company. It's family-owned and run, meaning you actually get to talk to the owners. What's even more impressive is they have 25-plus employees, and they all work every hour they're open. So you don't have to stand in long lines waiting for help. Plus, get faster and more coordinated service. And getting parts? Well, there's so much experience behind the parts counter, you'll be amazed. Our motto is, we sell fun. But every day, our mission is to help you from finding parts, getting service, or shopping for something new. And fun, too. Visit leosouth.com to tempt yourself.
Here we are on the Wayne Indy Affair on KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota on this September 27th, and the time is 9:29. And we're gonna tighten up here on Kim, number 10 song in all of 1968. And in studio now, I had the owner, operator, and 31-year veteran of KYMN Radio. That's my boss, Jeff Johnson. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning again, Wayne.
And also, we have Bob Matheson with us. Bob was general manager and sales manager and the head honcho in the weather department. And it's good to see you here, Bob.
Hi, Wayne. Happy birthday. Congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Now, how many years had, when did you start at KYMN?
I started in January of 1982.
82, that's quite a while. Mm-hmm. And Jeff, you started in 87, I believe?
87, yeah.
Okay. And do you remember this? Jeff remembered this, but do you remember what I'm holding
up? Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was a big storm also back in 1987. Yeah, absolutely.
I have a T-shirt that I had Rocky Top print the night after the tornado.
Yeah, we were on the air for that one. Huh?
I survived the storm, July 27th, 1987.
Yeah.
Power outage, silos moved, crops crushed, etc. And we gave those to people that were outside trying to clean up after that
and
storm.
The same kind of thing 1 week ago now.
Yeah, a week ago today.
You know, I thought of you immediately after the tornado. Mm-hmm. And Jeff, you'll remember Bob would be on the board, mm-hmm. and I'd go out in the Bronco and chase down storms and aftermath and then broadcast it live and in color. And many times we stayed the whole night. And the FCC rules at that time were sunset, get off the air. And we stayed on all night long.
Yeah, with the winter storms, we'd stay overnight.
I remember Wayne riding around the Bronco with his, we had a system called MARTI, M-A-R-T-I, and that's named after a guy that invented it, of course. And it was microwave, radio wave, actually.
It was FM. It was a really good sounding system. Yeah.
FM 162 or something like that, 165, like way up on the FM band. But Wayne would have it wireless and ride around just chasing storms in that Bronco with a regular microphone. That was a neat thing. Yeah. Yeah. That was a good system back in the day.
Oh, it was great.
It was.
As a matter of fact, on the way in this morning, I got a telephone call from Mayo Clinic trying to let me know they're still looking for an appointment date. But, I'm driving along, and all of a sudden the phone rings on your radio speakers, and it startles you, and then as the phone is ringing through the radio speakers, it's also ringing on the telephone. So which one should I answer? Well, they have buttons, you push it, and it's so cool. It would have been wonderful back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we have the computers.
Yeah.
It's a lot different.
One of the things that I like to, I have a, for the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting, I've given speeches about radio. And one of the things that we had here in the studios out in Waterford was, well, let's say 1981, when we redid the studios, we had, sitting on the board right now, I have a computer right in front of me, a board to control the volume, etc. And behind me, I have another computer that you can generate information that you need. But the deal is this. Back then, we had reel-to-reel, two units, cassette, one unit, cartridge machine, three units, and three turntables for records. And that was fun back then, wasn't it, Jeff? You you were the guy from 6 to 9 for a summer, at least.
Yeah, you know, and looking at it, a lot has changed since then, but not a lot has changed. You still have a lot of different things. Even though it's computer, you only have one or two pieces of equipment. There's a lot within that. So it's still... You're keeping your hands busy and your mind busy at the same time, but totally different. You know, it really has, as far as revolutionized radio, as far as what you can do, what you can't do, the number of people you need, employees.
Well,
there
was always a live person in this studio when we were on the air.
And it was required. It was FCC had the law. But no longer, you know, as long as you have control of your tower, which is very easy to do, your transmitters.
Did you guys have to get a third class license?
No.
Initially, I did. But then it wasn't required.
I did have to have the license at that time. Well, the first class was the engineer. I didn't have the engineer.
First class was the brains, and they could.
The electronics.
And back in those days, well, before that, you had to have an engineer on duty, and then they had changed it to on call. And so we had a couple of engineers on call, one in particular, Mr. Rooks.
John Rooks. Yeah. Worked with him.
And so he was on call, and he came out and saved us several times.
Oh, he's a good engineer.
Right. I remember him. He had telephones in his car before it was, you know, the thing to do. And I remember that he called his wife every night on his way home. And I thought, gee whiz, you know, why would you have to call your wife on the way home? You're going home to talk to your wife. And then when I got a system, that's what you do. I'm on my way. And now in my retirement phase of my life, my wife calls me and says I'm on the way so I can start to start the dinner. I have
John taught me how to change tubes in that old Gates transmitter. There, so I was able to do that.
Yeah. Oh, did you ever keep one?
No.
Okay.
They're expensive.
Yeah.
Remember
we had a brand new Harris transmitter, and it was rigged up so we could adjust power on it, which was all homemade rigged up. And then we had a standby transmitter that was almost as big as this room. And when our transmitter went out, we could go to that one. Remember pulling out the plugs and watching the tubes heat up?
You think of the evolution, and we've had after you sold it, they bought a new one. The Inkstead, I think, bought a new one and I think the other one had kind of just about ready to collapse.
It was getting old.
So
they, a good transmitter.
They bought this new one, which ended up we replaced it a couple of years ago. But seeing the evolution between the standby one you had, then the regular one, the Gates one, then this new one we had, which is Nautel, and then the new one that we just got a year or two ago. It's quite the stark contrast from the tubes and everything.
Much smaller, huh?
Yeah, even in 2003 when we got the new Nautel, it was still the size of the door, just about about the size of a doorway. Now it's maybe a couple of feet. That's it. Just one more piece of equipment in a rack.
Yeah.
And the FM, it looks like your VCR or DVD player, CD player.
That is amazing, because I went through that whole phase of all the updates, and I remember 1983, maybe before that, Carlton, St. Olaf, WCAL, went with CDs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, CD, I'm going, well, why do they need a certificate of deposit? You know, that's what I thought a CD was.
Yeah.
And, of course, now they're being phased out.
Mm-hmm.
I did invite the fellow that was the mayor of Northfield, actually mm-hmm. campaigned that fall
yeah.
that we came and won, and another guy brought him here. So can I talk to you guys later?
Yeah, yeah, okay. We'll stick around and okay. come back. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, you got a couple of guests in the,
right.
So we'll okay. let them 10
o'clock,
play through.
You're going to celebrate?
I think
yeah.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Push a button or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
All right, coming up is Tom Neville, former state senator and attorney, and his partner at one time, Marv Grundhofer, who has been mayor of Northfield on two occasions, and they'll be coming up in just a moment here on your radio station. And, of course, today is the AM side celebration, 1080 on your AM dial for almost 50 years. It will be in 22 minutes, and we're waiting for Marv and Tom to come on in.
I know you can make it. I guarantee you can make it. Hold it wide open, full commitment. You got this. Hey guys, Travis Pastrana here. Nitro Circus is finally turning me loose. I'm throwing my biggest, best, craziest, worst ideas, including brand new ramps, into one insane two-hour show. It's called You Got This. Be sure to come check us out, Minneapolis. I mean, what's the worst that could happen, right?
Coming to Target Center on Wednesday, October 3rd. Tickets on sale now at AXS.com.
They've been voted the best jewelry store in the region, and they're ready to help you find the perfect gift. Gerster Jewelers in Farmington has been family-owned and operated for two generations, and they know what you're looking for. From birthdays to First Communion, graduation to weddings, Gerster Jewelers has the perfect gift. If you have an anniversary coming up, Gerster Jewelers can make it memorable. If you have a watch or jewelry that needs repair, or if you want to know what it's worth, Gersters can repair anything, and they'll give you an appraisal, too. Gerster Jewelers in downtown Farmington. Proud supporters of Farmington Tiger athletics and academics.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. Make an appointment today with Drs. David Brust, David Buck, Bo Stanley, or Michael Thompson. New patients and emergencies welcome 5 days a week at Heritage Dental Care.
Well, we're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio on this, the 50th anniversary of Kim, a friend you can count on. And most of the stuff you were hearing before KYMN Radio came to town, you heard it through the grapevine. number two song in all of 1968, 50 years ago, and that, of course, Marvin Gaye, and I heard it through the grapevine. Well, I have two people seated and two microphones that are hot, and I want to welcome the former mayor. I want to welcome the former mayor. I say it twice because you were mayor twice, and we have Marv Grundhofer in studio, and Marv, thank you very much for coming down to the studio today.
No problem.
Okay. Now, I thought you were mayor when we came, but I was told by your son Joe that you may have been campaigning in 1968.
That's when I was campaigning.
Yeah, and you were elected mayor, I think, in 60. You served
for the 69. Starting in 69.
Okay. You know what my favorite story is about you?
What?
Well, first of all, you were a Boy Scout. You went to Creighton.
Well, I wasn't a Boy Scout.
No, that's what we called kids that went to. I went to St. Thomas Military Academy.
I heard of that, please.
And you went to Creighton Military.
Right.
Okay. So we had a bond immediately. We're in Northfield, right. And we went to these schools up in St. Paul. But here's another memory, Marv, and I hope that it comes back to you. I had a St. Paul night in the Lions Park, and I asked anybody that is from St. Paul to come with or come over and bring your own. I provided the what did I provide? I provided Schmidt beer from St. Paul.
Sure.
And I provided Ken's Baked Beans from St. Paul, which used to be Peter's Meats over on Robert Street.
Sure.
And I don't know what else, but we presented Mayor George Latimer with a beautiful drawing from Dirk Hansen, and he was there. And one of the things we did, Marv, and I hope you remember this, I asked people, what high school did they go to? Do you remember how many high schools or any of the high schools in St. Paul besides St. Thomas and Creighton?
Well, I can hardly remember St. Thomas. But
okay.
Creighton was the main high school.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, you had daytimers. We, you know, had some boarders.
I know it.
Okay, let's see if we can name them off, okay? OLP, what was that? Our Lady of Peace High School?
Lady of Peace.
And now that's where the lawyer school is. What's it called? What?
William Mitchell?
William Mitchell Law School.
William
now,
Mitchell. Yeah, I know it.
It's now in the old OLP school.
Sure.
And then there was St. Joseph's.
St. Joe Academy.
St. Joe Academy. And then there was Central High School, Murray High School.
St. Agnes.
St. Agnes High School. Thank you.
Right.
And Harding High School and Humboldt High School and Johnson High School. And Monroe High School, and maybe I'm missing a couple, but at that...
Not very many.
No.
You're not missing many.
But you were there at this picnic that I had, and amazingly, every high school in St. Paul had a representative at that gathering of St. Paulites in the Lions Park over on by the river.
Oh, is that right?
You were there. And it was a fun night, and just awe. Just it was like, wow, that's pretty amazing.
Why were you there?
Excuse my snort, but how old are you now, Marv? 91 years old. Get out for coffee every day.
Yes.
Okay. What is the most proud thing that you're proud of when you were mayor the first time, I believe, the safety center was built?
Safety center was, it was supposed to be a safety center and...
City Hall?
No.
No.
Fire.
Oh, yeah, it was, and you were the mayor when they put them together, and that was something else to do. And I also remember you representing a guy, and I'm not going to say the fellow's name, but he got a parking ticket, and he got mad at the lady that gave him the parking ticket.
Don't mention
his name. And anyhow, at that time they had a traveling judge, and so the court was held at the safety center.
Right.
And the judge pretty much, it was a joke. You were being funny as his attorney.
Right.
And the judge didn't think it was funny and ended up fining that guy, whose name we won't mention. Okay? But you know who I'm talking about.
Well, I think I do.
Well, I'll tell you later. Okay, how about this one? And Tom Neville's in studio. Say hello, will you, Tom, right into the mic there?
Good morning.
Good morning, Senator. Good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks. I'm part of the same coffee group in the morning with Marv.
And I've stopped in there on several occasions. Marv, there's one thing that you really ticked me off. I was mad. And
yeah, it was your cribbage game.
No, not the cribbage game. I won a position as Justice of the Peace. I was voted to be Justice of the Peace. Mm-hmm. And I was going to take over for the judge that had the greenhouse over by the golf club.
Osman Ozzie.
Yeah, right. And he taught me the ropes. I got together with him, and I'm all ready to be the Justice of the Peace, which would hold court here in Northfield. And you stuck your nose in and said, wait a minute, you are not learned in the law.
That's true, you aren't.
And therefore, you cannot serve as a judge. The governor can appoint one, and he'll appoint one that is learned in the law.
Right.
Hey, I won. I was voted in by the people. But that was the law, and I imagine it's still in effect. But I was the Justice of the Peace for about a week or two.
Yeah.
And you blew it for me, but I'll forgive you.
I believe it. I've blown a lot of things.
It is 10 minutes before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. At 10 o'clock, we will be 50 years old. And Marv Grundhofer is in studio with me. He has been our mayor for on two occasions. And Marv, I was looking at your for action pamphlet, or Marv Grundhofer for mayor, and it's a letter to people saying that you want to be the mayor. And here's what's interesting. Northfield Chamber of Commerce president, 1962. I was on their board of directors in the 70s. Northfield JC president, 1961. I was Northfield JC president in about 74-5. Northfield Lions president, 1965. I was Lion president back in the earlier middle 70s. And then a lot of other things out here. Named outstanding JC president in Minnesota for cities under 10,000 in 1961. And I got the ambassador award from the National JCs, which at that time was the highest honor you could get, which I was surprised at. You're president of the Northfield Golf Club, but a lousy golfer. And you were...
I wouldn't say...
Well, what was your best game ever?
I shot a 79 once.
You did? The front nine or the back nine or both?
Both.
Okay, good for you. But anyhow, I asked you to come in today because I wanted to share memories with you as our former mayor on two occasions. And you raised your family here. And
correct.
Unfortunately, your wife passed away. And she was fun. And so is your current wife,
sure.
Judy. And I know where you lived, over by the high school. That old,
not anymore.
No, not anymore. You got one of those beautiful places out by the golf course.
Oh, we live at the townhouse.
Oh, I didn't know that.
By
one level?
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. So what are some of the other things that you're proud of as being a member of the Northfield Society? And what were your thoughts that a radio station, after having to listen to WCCO or KDHL, Northfield was getting its own radio station. What did you think about that 50 years ago?
Well, I was a friend of Stan Steinecke.
Uh-huh.
And I thought he and you did a terrific job. Very good. You kept Stan kept it kind of low key, and
I didn't.
You kind of screwed it up a little bit.
And I was just thinking that at that time we were covering the news at the
City Hall
before they went to the old Washington School.
Yeah.
We had to carry big Wollensack recorders, about 40 pounds, instead of the ones now you hold in your hand as big as your thumb would have been, and you can also wire in. So a lot of changes in the 50 years here.
Oh, yes.
Are you retired firmly now, or are you taking on cases?
Oh, I'm not taking on cases.
So you are retired.
I am officially retired.
All right.
Cannot handle any cases.
Okay. How about you, Tom, Neville? Are you still practicing?
No, I'm retired also.
Okay. A retired judge?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm taping the hearing right now on Kavanaugh, and I'm going to look at that a little bit later on and see what's going to happen. What do you think of that case as a former judge?
Either way, it's really a sad situation. If he did it, it's amazing that he's being nominated. If he didn't do it, it's really sad for his family and himself that he's being dragged through the mud. So there isn't a good solution when accusations like this are made.
Yeah. He said, she said, right. Real tough. And, Marv, you were a lawyer, and you handled a lot of things, but you were a lawyer that wanted married couples to work it out rather than get a divorce. I mean, you wouldn't.
Correct.
A client would walk in and say, I want a divorce. And you'd say, okay, it's going to cost you $2,000. You would say, bring in your mate, your spouse, and let's sit down and talk about it.
That's right.
And you probably lost a lot of money by encouraging people not to get divorced.
I don't know. That's possible. I didn't. As I told Tom and some of the others when they came into our office, we're going to practice law. We'll have a lot of fun. We won't make much money.
Oh, good attitude.
That's right.
And your office was right next door to Tiny's. Before you moved over to 6th and Water Street.
Right.
An attorney's office next to a tire shop. But so did you go to Tiny's every day and have coffee with Johnson or with Steve McKay?
Steve.
Okay.
Oh, yes. And that, about every day.
And that was the gossip corner, right?
Yep.
And
find out what going on in the world.
Yeah, and then Don McRae would be there, and he'd find out, so then he could investigate the gossip he heard and then report it, the true actual stuff on the air.
I have to tell you, the one thing that's in my mind, my first term as mayor, we had a super council. Dave Remish was, and we appointed him, I forget what it was, and Frank Wright.
From Carleton.
Mm-hmm. And Dwayne Cregan.
Oh, yeah, there's a name. He was from St. Olaf, I believe.
Right. So Wright was in charge of the finances.
And was Otto Pankow on the council when you served as mayor?
Yeah, 1 year, I think.
It is 3 minutes away from 10 o'clock, and ooh, I'm excited. Last thing, Marv, what do you think was the biggest thing that we accomplished, you and I, and with the help of the late Bill Bierman and Jerry Adams?
Speaking of Bill Bierman, we appointed him chairman of the liquor store.
Right. And I came here in 68, I just had Keith Covey in. He was the chamber president at the time. Mm-hmm. And I said, where's the beer tent? Oh, in Northfield? There's gonna no way you're going to have a beer tent in Northfield. And I said, well, let me think about that. So I went to Jerry Adams, who was manager of the liquor store at the time. And we came up with the idea of the JCs running the beer garden in the parking lot of the Muni. Right. And at that time, they had a bar. The municipal liquor store had a bar. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, okay, so Jerry and I worked it out. And then we go to you and say, here's our plan, the JCs. And, of course, you're a past JC guy that, you know, knew how good that organization was. Agreed as mayor. So now we had to go to Bill Bierman, who smoked a cigar in his store, and get his approval as chairman of the Liquor Commission. And he agreed. And so in 1969, defeated Jesse James days, had a beer garden. And it's going great all these years later. And thanks to you for that, Marv. I appreciate the fact that you led the way on the city side.
Well, I'm not too sure I did, but...
Well, you could have said no. You could have squelched it. So you didn't, and thank you for that.
No, you're welcome.
Well, speaking about welcome, Tom, I'm going to have a little bit of a countdown here. KYMN Radio is going to be 50 years old in another 20 seconds, and that's... let's see. There's something on here I wanted to push. Jeff, do I need help on this? There it is. Okay, here we go at exactly 10 o'clock on KYMN, a friend you can count on. Are you ready, folks? 57, 58, 59, 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we can now say that KYMN Radio has been on the air for 50 years plus a couple of minutes, and the song Up, Up, and Away, done by the Fifth Dimension, was a big hit in 67, but I chose that particular song to be the first song played on KYMN Radio. And I was the first voice, and of course I'm very proud of that. And another thing at that time, hey... Jeff is in here with a bottle of champagne. Let's hear it pop. Don't go ahead. Hey, It's for real. How about that? Thank you. A bottle of champagne. Here we go with Jeff Johnson. Been here 31 years. How about that? Amazing. And, of course, Tom, you've been around since 76, and that's a long time. And, Marv, you've been here all the time KYMN Radio has been here.
61.
61. A long time.
Sue, I think,
okay.
Online.
Pardon me?
Maybe she's
not yet.
Okay. She was. We lost her.
Okay. I am expecting a call at 10:30.
Okay.
Okay. And I know you have a new phone system in here, so I might need to be babysat. Tom, people are wondering how you're feeling since you were joined me on the air about 6 months ago.
I'm in a therapy called immunotherapy, and it seems to be working. So,
are you in remission?
No, not yet, but my cancer has not spread.
So
it's looking good.
Great. Mark?
His cancer reduced itself.
That's fantastic.
It is.
Yeah. Glad you look good and a little weight loss, but you have all your hair.
Yeah.
And you got your smile.
That's more than I can say.
You have more hair than I do. Marv, I can't believe it. 91 years old and you can go out for coffee every morning. That's pretty good. You still play cribbage?
Oh, yeah.
Are you still as bad as you used to?
If I could. Do you remember, let's see, somebody, we were playing cribbage at the corner bar. And somebody said, the worst cribbage player in town, you're playing them right now. That's you.
Yeah, and I beat you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember Bill, the butcher from Erickson's Grocery? He used to do all the numbers for...
Morrison.
Pardon?
Bill Morrison?
Yes. Remember him?
Oh, yes.
We were playing a $5 game, and I double skunked him. And that was the first time he's ever been double skunked. That's $20, man.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Should be more than that.
Yeah. Well, it could have been. But in the cribbage world, have you ever had a 29 hand?
No.
28?
Yes.
Okay. I've had a 28, but never a 29.
No.
How about you, Tom?
I witnessed a 29.
You did? Where?
Yeah, in Lee Center. Phyllis Mangan, who owned the bakery.
Yeah?
I was playing with her, and she got the 29.
Wow. Were you campaigning over there at the time?
I sure was.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how does that get you? You let her beat you, huh?
Well, it's kind of hard to beat a 29.
Oh, my gosh. That's one-fourth of the way around.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Mangan's, that was my wife's, first wife's favorite.
What was the favorite coffee shop?
Mangan's.
Where is that?
In Mangan's Bakery and Coffee Shop.
Oh,
Center.
Okay, in Le Center. Okay.
Yeah.
They're probably still in business, huh?
No.
I don't know.
But the quality bakery is.
Yeah.
And we have a bunch of their stuff that Sue brought down. And she called in to congratulate KYMN, but she was on hold for too long. And, of course, she's busy over there at Quality Bakery. So, Susan, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but your glazed donuts and this champagne is going to taste delicious. All right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Any other memories, Marv, that you recall when KYMN Radio
came
to town?
I can remember our first council was Dave Remish. We've appointed council people to head committees.
Uh-huh.
We appointed him for some good committee.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank Wright
was
the
treasurer type.
Treasury, yeah. And Dwayne Cregan was, that was up at St. Olaf.
Yeah.
And Bill Bierman appointed him the charge of the liquor store.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that. and all these years later.
Yep. And let's see, who else? Hackerson was on there.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hack.
Yeah.
With the parking space by the building.
Right.
The alleyway from if you take Fifth Street and go south. On the east side, there's a parking lot right there, and Hackerson had his office right there. Right. Edward Jones is in there now.
And let's see, who else? Early
Chuck Stangler?
No, he was never on the council with me.
Okay, all right.
I talked to him every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, we're sitting in his front window right now, and this is where the pharmacy was.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. So... I invited you in because I wanted to have an opportunity to talk to a guy that was the mayor when we was elected mayor when we came to town, and I wanted to thank you for your cooperation, your sternness, and your kids, particularly Joe, who's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah,
I remember Orly Felstead.
Oh, yes, yes.
He was kind of a, well, I don't know how to describe it. He was a good guy.
A good guy, Orly Felstead.
Yeah.
And I think when I had a duplex, I think one of his kids may have tried to rent it. Not, when I say try, I mean looked at it.
Up here on 4th Street.
I lived on the end of 6th Street.
Yeah, I know.
The dead end.
You and...
Yes. Say, Tom, everything's going good. You're not practicing anymore. Did you become familiar with KYMN Radio when you came to town some 8 years after we were on the air?
I still remember the day I first met you.
You do?
It was on the street. And Marv or somebody else said, "This is Wayne Eddy." You said, "Do you ever listen to WCCO?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And you said, "That'll change. That'll have to change."
I can imagine I said that.
Yeah.
And, of course, you were at our 20th anniversary that we had down on Bridge Square, and your picture's on our wall here in the studio, but we still can't find you. The last time you were here...
I know I was there. I remember looking up to the roof of the First National Bank.
Yeah, and your kids were with you in Maryland.
Right.
So I'm going to let you guys go.
Thank you.
Who wanted coffee this morning or lost?
Kurt Swenson.
Kurt Swenson, all right.
Kurt had the dignified appointment as winner.
A dignified appointment as a winner. Well, they do numbers a game up at the coffee place and the Hideaway.
Hideaway.
Yeah, and I go in there every once in a while, but I don't get in the game because I have to run before you finish it. But I do get into the quarter game, and last time I did, I won, so I was happy. We used to meet next door at Bittersweet, and then they closed that.
Well, we got kicked out about five different spots.
Do you remember going to coffee at the Rubenstein when Earl Scott was around?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And he owned the cleaners, right?
Right.
Okay. And then Roger DeFore, Skip, bought it from Earl Scott, who was a big man.
Yeah, he...
Do you remember Chuck Miller? He was the county commissioner?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Very well.
He and I went down to Rochester. We were on some federal committee, and we had to go to Rochester for meetings. But you know what we ended up with? And I'll bet it was during the time you were mayor, the first time, is we ended up getting all the riprap along the Cannon River from 4th Street, from the dam south to Riverside Park. All that big stone, all the stone and stuff there, they call it riprap. We got a grant from the federal government to pay for that. because Chuck and I were on this committee to see if we could get it, and we had to do politics. Tom, you were a politician. You know, you have to play politics to get those grants, you know. So
yes,
Chuck
do.
And I would go down there, and he was the farmer, and I was the businessman. And farmers are business people.
You're talking about Chuck Miller.
Yeah.
Not Chuck Stangler.
No, Chuck Miller, no. It is 13 minutes old, 50 years and 13 minutes, KYMN Radio. We'll take a break for the newscast. And once again, Mayor Marv, thank you for coming in. It was fun reminiscing with you.
It was fun.
Yes. When's your next birthday? You'll be 92.
In August.
Oh, gosh, you got a ways to go.
No.
Okay, let me know what date, and maybe we'll have you in and celebrate 92 years for you, all right?
Right.
All right. Mark Grunthofer, former mayor of Northfield on two different occasions, and Tom Neville, I want to thank you for coming in today, and what are you doing with your days?
Whatever Marilyn wants me to.
Oh, okay. I mean, are you doing like painting and raking and stuff like that?
Yard work.
Yeah.
I'm volunteering in the prison system.
Oh, okay.
Doing some religious stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I remember when the whole state was befuddled by the fact that a prison guard was murdered, and the first time in the history of the Minnesota penal system buildings, right. One guard in over 100 years, that's a pretty good record. And then, boom, there's another one a couple of weeks later.
Second one, yeah.
Yeah. I go, ooh, I didn't know that. And I had the warden of Oak Park. Is that what it is?
Yes.
I had the warden of Oak Park on my show on several occasions. So, anyhow. And
thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Tom.
Nice to see you.
Okay. It is 14 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. We are KYMN and have been for 50 years and 14 minutes. A bottle of champagne down here. I'm anticipating a phone call coming up on Kim, and we're going to play some music that was very popular, number 8 in all of 1968. You can sing along with this one, I'll bet. Simon and Garfunkel on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. And that song, of course, is called Mrs. Robinson, and it went along with a great movie. And that was number 8 in all of 1968, the year KYMN Radio came to town. And I have a young lady on the line right now. She was around when Kim Radio came, but she was a young lady. Hello, Sue. How do you do?
Good morning, Wayne.
Thank you for calling. What's up?
I'm calling to say congratulations to KYMN and you, Jeff and Terry, on 50 years.
Wow, but it's not, we'll never catch up to Quality Bakery. How old are you guys?
Well, we will be 70 in just a few months, a couple months here.
And where were you and in 1968 when we came on the air? I know I worked with your dad, Ed Klinkhammer, and I knew that you had a large family, just like the Biermans had a large family. But where were you in 1968 in your life?
It was a Friday. I was in fourth grade at St. Dominic's School, and Mrs. Margaret McGovern was my teacher.
Oh, for God's sakes, that's Mike's wife, huh?
Yeah, wife, Mike's mother.
Oh, yeah, mother, okay.
Yep.
So when did you first, I know that you had the radio on at the bakery, and that FM helped a heck of a lot in regards to static, et cetera, but when did you become aware of the fact that there was a local radio station and you could hear Quality Bakery commercials on your radio at home?
Well, I remember right from the beginning, because Dad was proud to say that he was one of the first advertisers with Kim Radio. And we had it on the radio here at work, and when I'd come down after school or to help on weekends and things, we would listen to you.
Well, I know that I really appreciate it, and I know I had a magician on the air that we did a thing that I still didn't get, but it was broadcast live, and he was down, I think she was in the studio, and he was down at your bakery and worked with a customer. But your place has been a milestone in regards to Division Street downtown. You get that name, Quality Bakery, on international national television when they shoot the bank raid reenactment. So I know you're very proud of your dad and your mom and your family for having a business in town for 70 years, second oldest in town, not counting the colleges, to Biermans.
Right. We're in good company.
Yes. And by the way, thank you very much for the munchies, the rolls and the donuts and stuff you sent down.
Did you get that glazed donut?
I looked in there thinking it was a cake because I heard Jeff and Terry say, oh, look at Quality Bakery bought us a cake. And so I stick in cake, and then I opened it up and went, oh, wow. Then I had to get with my guests. So I'm anticipating they're holding one for me along with this bottle of champagne. So I'll have champagne and glazed donuts at 11 o'clock.
That sounds wonderful.
Well, Sue, thank you for being the owner-operator of Quality Bakery and keeping the tradition going in Northfield, Minnesota. And I'll stop by and see you soon.
Okay, sounds good, Wayne. Thank you very much, and again, congratulations. You've done well. It's been a fun 50 years listening to your voice on the radio.
Well, that just sounds so. Thank you very much.
You
bye.
Bet.
Bye now.
All right. Bye bye.
Okay. That of course Sue Klinkhammer on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, and I'm in studio here and looking out the window, seeing the library, which had two major changes in the last 50 years, and I look over here, and a major change in my life when a young lady was born on October 22nd, the same birthday as Sue Klinkhammer, 1976.
Very good, you remembered.
Yeah. My daughter, Angel.
I had to come say happy anniversary and congratulations because, well, you've been around all my life on the air.
Yeah.
I got to do one thing, though. I'm actually down here from work.
At the Archer House?
At the Archer House, downtown Northfield. And I came down because who would have thought that 50 years later we could take a selfie together on the air? You want to?
Yeah.
I want to.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
A selfie.
Okay.
Happy 50 years.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And back to work. Ooh, thank you. Nice kiss on the cheek. My daughter Angela has been around, KYMN has been around her all her life. It is 10:23 on KYMN, a friend you can count on, and we're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair, and I have some notes that I dropped down. I was thinking about some of the things that have gone on over the last 50 years, and I think one of the biggest shows we ever had was the Big Kim Auction Man Show, and Orange Marmalade on the clarinet was our theme song for that, and we had people calling from La Crosse, from Cambridge, from out west. Anyhow, it was amazing. And we're the only station that was doing this, and we would get products from our various merchants, and then we would auction them off on the air by way of telephone for an hour and a half every Saturday morning. And Marv Grundhofer's son, Joe, remembers buying a dehumidifier. As a little boy, he bought a dehumidifier for his mom. The Big Kim Auction Show also raised a lot of money for people. One of them, my daughter just left, and she was a little girl. And we, thanks to Lee Lansing, got a hold of about eight Cabbage Patch dolls, which were impossible to get. And rather than disappoint some customers, he just donated them, and we auctioned them off on the air, and then that money went to a nonprofit organization. And we even had a nurse and my daughter and I bring the dolls to the people that bought them that day. The Big Kim Auction Man Show, that's one of my favorite memories. Another favorite memory is Visit with the Vikings, and that would be live every morning, Monday through Friday, after a home game, and it was at 8:15 in the morning, and there were a ton of funny and crazy things that happened on that show. I was approached by some people that wanted me to syndicate the show, and I said, well, it's live in the morning by telephone, and obviously if you tape it and you wouldn't want to play it back except for the day. He said, no, I mean, I got a couple of stations that we can hook up with, and they'll just patch into you, and you'll be on that radio station. I think Mankato was one of them. But anyhow, I said, no, I'm not going to do that, because crazy things can happen live when you're talking to Visit with the Vikings, especially on Monday after they celebrate a victory, or Wednesday after they celebrate a day off on Tuesday. So there you have it in regards. I just said that because I saw Jeff Johnson, and there you have it is one of the fun things. Another thing that I enjoy, I think, Jeff Johnson, you were probably here when we did it, and that was a thing called Voices from Home. Remember that?
Oh, sure.
And,
yeah,
that was a big deal. We were
in the Gulf War, the first Gulf War back in 91.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we would have people call the radio station and act as if they're talking to the soldier that's over in Iraq, and record it and mail it to him by cassette at that time. And they even put bumper stickers on tanks, and I thought that was pretty cool.
You know, that was way before the days of, we had never heard of the Internet. You recall a couple of years later when the presidential election of 92, Bill Clinton started mentioning things about the information superhighway. It's like, well, what does he mean? Nobody really knows. So back then, it was a cassette. We didn't have the digital stuff.
Of course, he had Al Gore there, who invented the Internet. Bob Matheson has joined us again. Bob, of course, an employee for many, many years on KYMN, general manager, in fact.
Well, for a very short time. Mostly sales manager.
Yeah. I'm looking at a little list of things that happened over the last 50 years. It's 1027, and that is we used to carry Carlton football, and Dan Freeman was the play-by-play guy, and he had different people as his, what do they call the guy next to him?
Color commentator.
The color, yeah, okay. And you took over that job, right, Jeff?
Yeah, Dan and I worked together for close to 15 years. You know, I did it for 15 years as play-by-play. Dan did it many years before that. And for most of those 15 years, Dan was a color commentator. And, we'd travel together, go up to the, you know, Twin Cities, to the colleges there, and we had the road games, or even up to Concordia or wherever. So, missed Dan. We had some great memories.
And he did a history thing, and that is the one and only ever college football game that was broadcast by metric.
Yeah.
And it's first in 8.2 meters, or however he did that. He did do it. Another thing, everybody knows Rod Carew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not knows him, but know who he is. And in January of 1969, either January or February of 1969, after having been on the air September 27th, all of October, November, December, we had what we call a charter recognition, and that is people that signed up with us in advance before we were on the air were called charter members, like Patrika's, at that time, Red Owl, mm-hmm. and Hughes Fair Price Market over on Water Street. And we had a speaker, and that speaker was Rod Carew. But he wasn't the Rod Carew we all know today. He turned into that Rod Carew. So that was pretty exciting. And, of course, Sid Freeman had his connections to the Twins and the Vikings and all that. And, Jeff, I don't know if you were around or Bob, when we used to carry the Minnesota Vikings. And the next season, after completing several, they wouldn't give us the feed because of our closeness to the Twin Cities,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that Jack Hyde down at KDHL, the late Jack Hyde, complained and said that they're within the circle of non-broadcast. You shouldn't be feeding them. So they called up and said, so sad, too bad, you're not going to carry the Vikings. Well, mm-hmm. we already had sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And Sid Freeman had introduced me to Max Winter, and so I knew Max Winter. So I called up Max Winter, who was president of mm-hmm. the Vikings, mm-hmm. and just said, hey, you know, this little radio station, you know all about KYMN, Max, and here's what happened. And he said, well, let me see if I can check in. Well, the next guy from the net, half hour later, the guy from the network called and said, okay, you can carry the game. So we carried it for another season, and it's who you know, I guess. And if you guys want to bounce in with a memory, you're more than welcome. I'm expecting a phone call in about a minute or so.
All right. Now, do they are they just going to call our main line here? Or?
No, I did what you told me to
okay.
do.
Yeah, you have to look and pay attention and hit the button. So you have to be watching that.
Okay.
Well,
there it is.
There it is.
So I just
push it. Yeah.
Let's see if I got that person on the line right now. Hello.
Hi, good morning, Wayne.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Wycor on the phone right now. Hi, Jim. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. It's a cloudy morning, and I think winter is coming.
We are 50 years and 30 minutes old, Jim. And where were you in 1968?
I was managing two radio stations in Worthington, KWOA, AM and FM.
Uh-huh.
And I recall when you and your partners put that station on the air, I was had recently been elected president of the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and I recall contacting you sometime after that grand opening and inviting you to join the association, and you and your partners did.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, 50 years ago, and of course you ended up being the chief executive with the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and implemented a whole lot of things and assisted in getting the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting rolling and had your offices there. But at that time, Jim, when I got on the board, you were the executive director, and we had, I think, like 300 radio and TV stations. I was vice president of radio, and I contacted virtually every radio station. Everybody joined except one. Can you remember which one didn't join?
FM station in Rochester.
Tom is his first name, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. He had a beautiful station. But
yes,
he'd always, I'd even go down there, and he'd always would say, well, let me think about it. So I did 99% membership except for that guy. And then they sold it to somebody, and they were playing music of your life, you know, beautiful music and all that. And they sold that. He sold that station to a group that made it into a rock and roll heavy metal radio station. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. I'm wondering if he's rolling over thinking about that, because he had the good music station that was listened to not only over southeastern Minnesota, but also in the southern Twin Cities.
That's a fact. Do you recall anything about KYMN Radio since you were involved in the broadcasting world and and kind of the leader of broadcasting in Minnesota for decades.
The one thing I remember very clearly is that one of the partners had been a television weatherman, and he had been a very good one. That was you, right?
Oh, well, actually, you're right, and Stan Steinecke had been the weatherman at KAUS Television, and I took his place.
Yep, and then you guys ended up as partners.
Right, and if the clock will allow it, by the way, say hello to a couple of people I know you know. I've got Bob Matheson here and Jeff Johnson in studio. Bob, you know Jim.
Oh, yes. Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Hi, Bob. I'm doing good for an old guy. How about yourself?
Doing good for getting to be an old guy also.
Bob is battling. Is that okay if I mention that?
Yeah.
Bob had a stroke several years ago, and he is, I suppose I shouldn't use the word struggling, but you're up and about and getting from the car into the studio, and you've been putting up with this horrible thing, strokes. For how many years now?
Since 2005.
Oh, that long. 13 years. Mm-hmm.
Well,
wow.
Well, Bob, that's marvelous. Christmas Eve 2008, my son was visiting me in Arizona and took me to the hospital. And the cardiac surgeon told my son, if we don't operate on your dad in the next 6 hours, he'll die.
Wow.
And I got a brand new heart valve. So I know about struggling and getting back to normal.
And by the way, Jim Whitecore is 10 years older than me, and he's been my fishing buddy on the opener, the Governor's Opener, for 30 years, I think, or more. Jeff Johnson, say hello.
Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Jeff, and you got a good operation there. Keep it up.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Certainly appreciate it. Certainly appreciate all the contributions that you made for broadcasting in Minnesota, Jim.
Thank you very much. Quite
the career.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Jim, do you remember? Hey. Go ahead. Say anything you want, Jim.
Oh, I was just going to mention, you mentioned fishing. One of the greatest fishing expeditions that you and I and the world's greatest hockey player, John Mayasich, made was up to the Manitou in northern Ontario.
Mm.
You remember that time?
How could I forget? It was fantastic.
It sure was. And I remember you caught a 54-inch northern pike.
Yep, I could hardly hold it up. And
You couldn't hold it up.
No,
you were lucky to get it back in the water.
Yeah, you're right. It was kind of a scary fish.
It was big.
Jim, you're an engineer, have a first class license, and you know how we daytimers struggled to get nighttime service. You were the president of the Daytimers Association nationwide, and the funny thing is that I was kind of your assistant on that, and when they came down, we were successful for 1,500 radio stations.
Actually, 2,200 got some full time.
Okay.
And unfortunately, some did not.
And that was KYMN.
That's right.
1080 AM Clear Channel. We did not get nighttime service. Now, when I sold the station to the Ingsteds, they were able to get nighttime service, and I have been told by very expensive lawyers and engineers that there's nothing available. I, to this day, don't know the story. And then Jeff Johnson gets a feeder FM station, which he can't use as he has to simulcast, but it's getting out 20 miles or more. What do you think of that new rule with the FCC? With the wouldn't that have been a dream of ours back in the 80s?
Absolutely, it sure would have. And anyway, we were successful, but Ray Livesay, who was my predecessor as president of the Daytime Broadcasters Association, and he worked on that effort for 25 years, and Wayne, he was in the same boat as you.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
I remember seeing him, and he was saying a few words. And of course, I was at two, maybe three on-bank hearings for broadcasters. And I went there with the big wigs that own stations in Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, and they told me to keep my mouth shut about nighttime broadcasting. But you have to write what you're going to say, as you know, because you lobbied.
Yes.
And so I had like a maximum of 5 pages, and then I had to read it to the FCC. And the NAB got mad at me, the National Association, because I was taking time at one of the only on-bank hearings they ever held for broadcasters, and yet that's why I was there.
That's right, and I applauded you for that. And and I remember what finally got the FCC to move on full-time or nighttime operation for daytimers was my congressman at the time was Vin Weber, and a senator in South Dakota. We introduced legislation in the House and in the Senate to allow us to broadcast from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. or sunrise to sunset, whichever was greater.
Uh-huh.
And we got 118 co-sponsors in the House bill and 38 co-sponsors in the Senate bill, and the FCC saw this thing was going through. And I remember a chairman was Mark Fowler, and he called me up and he said, Mr. Wycor, I think we can get something going here if you'll agree to a meeting. And recall, Wayne, we met with the FCC and the chairman and in a private meeting, and we negotiated the deal, and they had a rulemaking, and away we went.
Well, I remember we had dinner with Vin Weber and his mother at an Italian restaurant in the basement. How's that?
Yes, I remember that well.
Okay.
Yes, and anyway, at my station in Worthington, which is on 7:30 a.m., a daytime station, and that's a clear channel, a Mexican and Canadian clear channel, and I got 148 watts nighttime, which helped me cover almost 30 counties on 7:30.
The three of us are laughing. The thing that we got was 4.1 watts, and the joke was you could see us before you could hear us. Oh, Jim,
I'm sorry.
Jim, I'm going to let you go. I really appreciate your call, and I'm glad that you remember our going on the air. And then how impressed were you when KYMN became the first radio station outside of one in Los Angeles and one in New York and became a pioneer in broadcasting in AM stereo?
I remember that well, and I was very, very impressed, and I never took that jump. So I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, and then, of course, that no longer exists. But it was on March 3rd, 1983 at 6 a.m. Jim, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Okay, congratulations, Wayne and Bob and Jeff, and keep up the good work.
Best of luck to you, Jim. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes and talking with us.
Thank you, Jim.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Jim. You are listening to the 195.1 FM, KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota, celebrating 50 years and 40 minutes on the AM dial, 1080. We'll be back with Jeff and with Bob in just a moment. We'll take a break. Thank you for tuning in.
The Minnesota School of Beauty in Lakeville is your stepping stone to a quick start into the world of cosmetology and nail technology. At the Minnesota School of Beauty, you'll learn from industry leaders and can launch your new career before you graduate. See your dean or guidance counselor about possible programs. Go to mnschoolofbeauty.com to find out when the next class is starting. This year, the School of Beauty has teamed up with Kohl's Salon for advanced nail technology classes. Give them a call today at 952-469-4545. The Minnesota School of Beauty.
I'm Sam Richardson, principal of Greenvale Park Elementary. Every day I see the benefits of high-quality learning experiences in the important formative elementary school years. We can set students on course for future success in academics and life. The November 6th bond referendum will address our need for more space and an improved learning environment for all of our young students, pre-K through 5th grade. Please visit the district website at northfieldschools.org to learn more.
Prepared and paid for by Northfield Public Schools. Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Tune in this Friday for Northfield Raider football. The Raiders host the Austin Packers. Pregame 6:40, kickoff at 7 on 95.1 The One and KYMN Radio. Net.
Family Fresh Market in Farmington is your source for top quality meat and produce 7 days a week. This week they're featuring single serve Our Family coffee or cappuccino in 12 count packages for $4.97. Our Family deli style lunch meat in 7 ounce packages is $2.99. And Our Family hash browns, 32 ounce packages or patties, is just $1.99. Just go to FamilyFreshMarket.com and print out their weekly specials to get great savings year round. Family Fresh Market is your hometown grocery store. I wish the Farmington Tigers good luck in tonight's game and throughout the season.
Okay, we are back live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair as we gaze out the window. It's somewhat overcast, a little bit of a breeze, and I don't know what the temperature is, but Bob Matheson probably does. Bob, I was looking up the weather on September 27th, 1968, and I got something out of it, but I had it on my phone and it's gone.
Oh, sorry. I don't recall that either.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in Northfield 50 years ago, but I don't recall the weather.
Do you recall the day that KYMN signed on?
I can, I don't recall listening to it. I remember seeing all the posters and windows around town, and people thought that was neat that Northfield was going to have its own radio station and yeah, I remember that part. Mm-hmm. I remember Wayne on Bridge Square doing the Kim auction show.
The Big Kim auction show.
The Big Kim auction show.
Oh, yeah, that was a popular show. And then the funny part of that is, guys, is that later on, Twin Cities broadcasters did it, but not on air, but they encouraged people. I have a gift certificate to Valley Fair. Mm-hmm. The highest bidder gets it. And I'm going, well, we did that live before anybody in 1969, right mm-hmm. when we first started. We were first station in the area to do that. And then now they do it on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, and then CCO copied us with AM stereo. So,
thinking back, so the FCC and the technology things in the last 50 years, and you and Jim Wycourt. And folks, if you don't know Jim Wycourt, he was a real big deal in Minnesota radio for a long, long time. He was president for how many? 30 years, maybe? 20 years? I don't know how long.
I don't recall.
Yeah.
I know, here's what happened is the year after I served as president of the MBA, Jim mm-hmm. was the executive director.
Yeah.
And then we were doing interviews to replace mm-hmm. him because he was going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, big boys of broadcasting mm-hmm. got the NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, to lobby small stations and every station to call their directors president, not the executive director of the uh-huh. Minnesota Broadcasters Association. They want them to be called president, and they went along with mm-hmm. it. And this is a couple of years after I was president, and so they took that title away from the locals. And today the MBA is open 2 days a week.
going back to March 3rd, 1983, talking with Tim Valley, is our engineer here now, and we've seen a lot of Tim in the last week or so since the storms, but he's one of the people, and he was a young guy at the time, 35 years ago, who helped put KYMN, who put that whole AM stereo together, and recalling him not too long ago, recalling that night, he's like, oh, we were going crazy, we did all this build up and they're going to be on the air the next morning, we got to have this done, we're working all night. He goes, and the physics behind the whole AM stereo thing was really tricky. I mean, there's a reason why it hadn't been done before. It's just the physics behind it, but got it together, and boom, AM stereo. And it's so unfortunate that car manufacturers, what it comes down to, radio has been really at the mercy of car manufacturers. If they decide it's a good idea, because that's where you listen to radio, then they'll all of a sudden put it in 5 million cars that they produce each year, however many, and everybody will have it. But that part of it never came on, came on board, which is unfortunate because that was, I remember listening to it when I first heard actual AM stereo. It's, this is at least as good as FM.
It sounded good in its final form, which was called AMAX stereo.
AMAX, yeah, that's right.
And I heard that in a brand new Buick in town, and we sounded, I did a test, an A-B test, we sounded better than the number one music station in the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm. Well, a guy from KSTP, a reporter, came down and did a report, the first AM stereo in the Midwest in Northfield, Minnesota, and I might even be on, what do you call that, YouTube, where you can look up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember him holding a microphone, standing near the transmitter with a headset on, and pointing at it, and he said, the sound coming out of this transmitter is better than FM. It's so separated strong.
It was.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, and it so it's unfortunate that the manufacturing part, the consumer manufacturers, because that really would have been, I mean, that was, it would have been a huge boost for KYM, and it probably was.
We had fun with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right after we went on the air, Harris was the company I went with, and I helped them promote it. Sent me on the teletype. Remember the teletype?
Yeah.
I got a message on there saying, FCC, cease all M stereo broadcasting with this Harris type system we were using. And so we had to knock it off, you know. So now we're not doing AM stereo. So I call the company and I tell them, we're going to go to the state fair promoting AM stereo. We got signs up. We promoted it. Blah, 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 blah. And they were so kind as they sent me a check for what I paid for it.
Oh, really?
And took that check down to the First National Bank and paid that thing off. and then 6 days later, they said, go ahead and use it. It was just a glip in the schematics. So I got that for nothing.
Boy, that's, I wish I had that story to tell with our FM.
Yeah. And my first radio station, WTMB in Tomah, Wisconsin, the owner of that was a guy named Hugh Dickey. And he taught me a lot about the sales department. Sell, sells. Nothing happens till something sold. And on March 2nd, they had his funeral, and he died in a very ugly way, seated next to a, what do you call those heaters that, you know, you plug in and they provide heat.
Uh-huh.
And he died in his chair, and that thing was on for days.
Oh, man.
But
wow.
I went to his funeral March 2nd, and I drove back from Tomah, Wisconsin, and got here about 5:45 that morning.
Wow.
And I, of course, had ran into a whole bunch of guys I worked with and girls. And so, of course, after the funeral, we went out and celebrated, and I timed it perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I come walking in, and Tim looks at me and the other guy like, you know, why weren't you here earlier? Well, I had a party last night.
Wow.
10 minutes before 11 o'clock here on KYMN Radio, the 95.1 FM, and, of course, 50 years and 50 minutes old, 1080 AM KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota. I was going to, Yonkers, by the way, which you remember.
I remember Yonkers.
I wasn't here. Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's where
Trippers, Clippers.
Thank you. And Herb and Irene Yonker, very conservative, were the first people I signed up. Before we went on the air, I was selling radio time before there was a radio station on the air.
They had such good chicken and mashed potatoes.
Yes,
gravy,
exactly.
And, so good.
And the Big Inch, anybody remember the Big Inch? Well, we worked that one out, especially with Jacobson's, and had an official area, and whoever came the closest in time when we officially got 1 inch of snow won all kinds of prizes. But you had to register at Jacobson's and Bierman's and all of that to be a winner, similar to the way the horseshoe was with the button. And so That was a fun game. Then we had the bunnies. You've seen the bunnies.
The big Kim Easter bunny.
Did you sell those?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you feel stupid walking down the street with the big yellow bunny? I mean, well, as tall
first
as you?
Well, I kind of paused, but then once you started doing it, you'd go into the store with that bunny, and people would laugh, and you'd have fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, I remember walking in, and I was part-time at that time. It just started. Walking in to work, and all of a sudden, I walked in the door, and there was nothing but huge boxes everywhere. The whole radio station was just filled with big boxes with big rabbits.
Big rabbits, yeah.
That was a really great promotion. Yeah. Then, of course, we had June Dairy Days, and guess what animals are going to come out? You know, Carlotta, the Kim cow, do you remember any?
Oh, yeah.
Dexter,
absolutely.
The dog.
Yeah.
Horace Greeley. Yeah, Horace Greeley.
Loretta Lamb.
Yeah, Loretta Lamb.
And that was always fun. Then we had... I can't read my own writing.
Chop
here.
The cherry tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, cherry tree.
Yeah. Right. That, you count the wax, Jeff. You did a lot of those.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then we had the turkey. Let's talk turkey. And we'd give away turkeys to people that... Mm-hmm. And then I had, on Thanksgiving, I worked in the morning, and I had Governor Lavander call up and compete in my gobbling contest. Yeah. Each year I had people call in, and I taped them. And then before I went off the air, we would listen to them again, as many as we could. And the winner is, and then they got a big $50 gift certificate from Patrika's Red Owl. And
there were a lot of good gobblers out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I played Santa Claus. And for the Chamber of Commerce in a building down on Division, the second building from Fifth Street going north, which was the NSP office at one time. And I played Santa Claus for the Chamber, but I had a microphone and a tape record cassette, and I called it Santa's Magic Memory Machine. Mm. And then I'd go back and edit it and then play what the kids were asking for. And that was always a lot of fun. At 6 before 11 o'clock, we have Nola Mathis in here. We have Terry Knight is in here. And,
is anybody else out there? That's okay.
Okay, and our first news director was Mel Ott. That's a story I won't tell on the air. And then Gene Thompson, who died getting up, putting on his socks to come to work. And then we had Don McRae be our news director for many years.
Yep.
And
co-owner for a while.
Yeah. Yes, my partner. And then Greg...
Doles.
Greg Doles, was a news director. And then I had some women that were news director. We were a leader of that. And one last thing is we had a guy named Bill Kelly that would do editorials for us. And one morning he talked about North Minneapolis, and he had all the statistics right and correct about everything, and it had upset some people on the left, I guess you would say, and they wanted to boycott the radio station. And we had to go to a human rights commission that they have in town, and then they talked about how terrible this. We played the two-minute editorial. Everything on there was true, and they brought in people and said, we are going to go down to Patrika's county market and protest and don't buy this. And they had a kid come in off the street that said he was intimidated by that, and he never heard it. He was a college kid, and they grabbed him off the street and said, come on in and complain. I'll never forget that. And I didn't know what to do, and Bill Kelly helped
me out.
Tell
them about the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution.
Oh, well, we were doing that, but they can protest, and our advertisers don't want people in front of their stores with placards and trying to block people. You know, we don't need that. So Bill Kelly did the right thing, I think, in that he didn't make me make a decision. He just said, I don't want to do it anymore. So
you know, we've talked about a lot of employees, but we have two people in the studio right now that have made just wonderful, wonderful contributions to KYMN Radio over the course of the last 25, 30 plus years, and we have two of us are married to them. We have Nola Mathison, who's never, I don't know if she's ever officially been an employee of KYMN Radio, but
I think she helped with collecting money for the Big Kim Auction Show, didn't you?
Oh, I did work the S. Yeah. I did collect money.
Down at State Farm or wherever it was?
Just as a substitute here and there. I just filled in where needed.
So she was there.
Yeah, she's given us news stories, helped Bob with the weather, been around. Anytime we need some help, Nola has been there for 30-plus years. So, Nola, thank you for your service. And Terry Knight, my
wife.
Wait
a minute. I get to say,
Okay.
Give the mic to Terry. Thank you. The only woman I think that I hired, I thought she was so good, I hired her twice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the years, Terry Knight.
1994, 1992 and 1994.
Okay. Yeah. And that's because you had a nice home, your first radio job. Did you go to Brown?
I did.
Okay.
On Lake Street.
And then you, okay. And so then you got a job through Brown, but because Mike
here.
Right.
Yep.
And so then you came down, and your first thought is, my God, the station is out in the middle of a cornfield.
But I will say how impressed I was with the station, because it was beautifully, it was so nice. It was bustling, and there were so many people, and stuff was going on, and it was clicking, and it was really neat. I thought it was out in the boonies, and I was driving from Burnsville, but I was impressed by that. And one of the reasons I was is because when I left, I was hired for a small station up in Cambridge where I was going to do a morning show. It was a pit. And I remember calling Rich Harris and saying, is there any way I can come back? And you graciously said yes.
Oh yeah. Well, you were you always had an awe about you about demanding respect, you know, in regards to women in the workplace. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you were around, but you know, I hired women to be news directors. Mm-hmm. Not just office personnel, but news directors. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that deal I told you about, just Jeff and that human resource, mm-hmm. whatever it was, on that committee, while they were dissing Bill Kelly and me for that editorial, what they didn't know was a guy was coming in from Pennsylvania to become our news director, and he was a black man. And they didn't know that, and yet they're calling me prejudicial through Kelly's editorial. And so I thought, that's cool. And so that's a story that I don't forget. I don't forget.
Right. But let's move on. I just want to thank and recognize Terry for her contributions. She's the best news director that we've had since I've been here, hands down. I think she's just done a wonderful job. And the connections that she has made, not only with you know, the rest of the staff here, but throughout the community and through with people, with the authorities, the elected officials, with just the listeners. Just a wonderful bond. So,
thank you.
Terry, thank you. And I would like to, but we opened up some champagne an hour ago.
Yeah. Still cold.
It's got a little cold. Yeah.
Okay.
So, to a toast. To 50 years and to the next 50 years.
Yay!
All right.
Yay!
Here we go.
All right.
One, two, three.
Ah, there we have it.
Time for a legal ID, Wayne.
Well, 10-minute window, 5 before and 5 after. But it is 11 o'clock, and this is the one real radio, KYMN Radio 95.1 FM, and, of course, now 50 years and 2 hours old, KYMN AM 1080 on your dial. I'm Wayne Eddy, bidding you a farewell. Talk to you tomorrow.
Real Radio. True Variety. 95.1. The One.
Here's a message I sent from my bedroom floor. To the goddess who could take no more. A man can't do nothing when his love's gone sour. Except listen to the rain and the passing hour. Oh, babe,
Up your glass.